Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us on Getting Real with Thomas Cox. Today's guest is BJ Ellis. BJ is the CEO of Yellowhammer. If you don't know who Yellowhammer or what Yellowhammer is, stay tuned and find out. Unbelievably fun episode today, but also very, very informative. It goes from the family stuff to the business stuff. Guy was in college coaching for a little while, so it's really, really cool. So join us. Hope you enjoy it. It was so much fun talking to BJ today. So many lessons we can learn and pull from this. So hope you enjoy. Thank you for joining us on the Entrepreneur Dad podcast, where we talk to entrepreneurs, high-level executives, and overall just people that are working their butt off to make a great living for themselves. In this, what we do is we examine their journey, their ups, their downs, their transitions, and also how to remain great spouses and loving parents while managing a full daily schedule. Thank you so much, and I hope you get tons of value out of your time with us. So give me a little bit of your background as far as just growing up, where you grew up, and what was kind of a big deal for you growing
up? Sure. I lived in Crestview, Florida most of my life. I went to Okaloosa Walton to play basketball my freshman year.
From the beach?
Yeah, from the beach. Found out that they were one of the best JUCO teams in the country, which was great during the recruitment process.
Absolutely.
When I get there, not so great. I transferred to Enterprise Ozark, where I could get a little more shots up.
So you were at the beach, and then you go from the beach to Enterprise.
Yeah.
So for all our people watching or listening to this right now, what they need to do is they need to Google both places and know that you went from the beach to the boll weevil capital of America.
I'm surprised you know.
Hey, I'm an Alabama guy. So.
Wow. Yeah. Not many people know that. They have a statue of a boll weevil.
It's unbelievable.
No question. So went there, two totally different places, as you know.
Yeah.
Won a state championship. Which
awesome.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
Got to play with my best friend in room in college. Had great experiences. Then I went to University of West Florida. Played back to the beach.
Yep. Can't get away from it.
Played there. Decided that coaching was what I was passionate about.
Okay. So let me back up. What did your folks do growing up?
My dad was a foot doctor and a pastor.
Really?
Podiatrist and a pastor. Yep.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that.
And my mom tried to keep me on the straight and narrow.
Nice. Full-time
which
job.
Which was... The toughest job in
right.
the house.
Full-time job.
No question.
Okay.
So, played at West Florida, started coaching at Pensacola Junior College, coached a whole year, no paychecks.
Been there, done that.
Whole year.
Yep.
Everybody else was excited to come to the end of the month, and I'm like, it's just time for a new month.
Just starting over with one.
No question. So, that got me a graduate assistant spot at Delta State.
Okay, so the hard work, not paying anything, got you...
Yes.
Into one of the hardest industries in the world.
Yes.
And I was college coaching.
Fired up about that.
Perfect. So you're in Mississippi Valley, went from Delta State, got a promotion.
I did. I was
and
excited.
So went from a smaller school to a Division I school. Tell us about what transpired there and what happened.
Yeah, I got on campus and I was the top assistant.
Yeah, you were.
Which was amazing. I was the only white guy anywhere near. And I had a couple run-ins with getting some reimbursements and stuff, and I asked my coach, I said, why do they not like me?
Yeah.
And he said, what do you mean? I said, is it because I'm new or a male or white or not from here? He said, probably
yes.
All of it.
Yes. Yeah,
all
for
of
sure.
It. So that took a little bit of navigating, but we started the season 1-11.
Oof.
That was tough. We made $800,000 in guaranteed games.
Wow.
And then we won
seven. That's a lot. Now tell her about what a guarantee game is.
Guarantee game is where you go play and you're probably not going to win.
Right.
And you make money.
For sure.
Been there and done that
as a player and a coach.
Yeah, no question.
Yep.
And then we won 17 in a row and had the nation's longest winning streak.
Wow.
So we had some success.
Yeah.
I was not there for long. He got a job and me and him went to Morehead State in Kentucky. I was the only guy that he took from Valley.
Ooh.
Which was amazing.
Okay.
So we're at Morehead State now, which is the back to what Delta State looks like.
For sure.
And in the mountains of Kentucky, 2 years before they had just beat Louisville in the NCAA tournament, they had an NBA guy, Kenneth Fareed. And we proceeded to win the most games as our first year, our first 2 years, our first 3 years.
Wow.
I left, and then they had the best season that they've had since we were there with all the guys that we had there. So,
wow.
We had a lot of success. We were rising fast and very, very blessed. Some things have to happen right
Yeah, in college sports, there's so many things that have to happen. The main thing is players.
Sure.
I mean, everybody talks about how, you know, awesome Nick Saban is, but
he's got the best players.
He's got the best players in the world.
No question.
And so so you're at Moorhead. So where from there?
Moorhead. It's funny that we're doing this today, because today is the third year anniversary of my dad passing.
Wow.
So we were finishing up the season. It's March Madness right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had just lost in the semifinals of the conference tournament to Murray State, who went to the NCAA tournament. They had an NBA point guard then too.
Gotcha.
And I knew I was just a bad dad. I knew that, and it hit me when my dad passed.
Okay, so you're at Moorhead in Kentucky. You and Courtney are married, and so how many kids do you have at this point?
Three little girls.
So three little girls. Okay.
Oldest is five. Youngest is two.
Okay. What year is that? What year is this?
This is 2015.
Okay.
I might be watching today, but around 2015 or 16.
Okay,
like.
So doing really well. Honestly, in the college sports world, you're fast tracking. I mean, you get with a good guy, which is huge in college sports.
No
you can't
question.
Be with a guy that's either super old or not going anywhere or is fixing to retire. So you get with a guy.
And I was his
moving,
guy.
And you were his guy. And that's huge in college sports. So you're moving. You get to Moorhead, and you guys are killing it and doing well. Got a good player that's helping you. Father dies. So what's...
Yeah, I just... There was one moment that I think back to. My oldest was five, I think. And she had a tough day at daycare.
Okay.
And a lot of people are like, oh, it's just stuff that kids are going through. But... our tough days and their tough days to us and to them is the same thing.
Right.
If somebody makes fun of them, that's just as bad as us getting fired or in their world.
For sure.
She's crying. I get a call from a recruit's dad. I said, baby, hold on. I got to take this. Talk to the recruit's dad for 2 hours. I get the recruit eventually.
Right.
I come back in. She's asleep. Hmm. Don't see her for 2 days.
Wow.
And I look back and I realize I'm a terrible dad, and I was probably a better dad than, I don't know how to put a percentage of that.
Well,
70% of
here's the thing: I'm a great golfer compared to a 10-year-old, but I'm an awful golfer compared to Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And so it's all about perspective and who you're comparing yourself to. But here's the thing: your bar was high.
Yes.
And if you're below that bar as a competitor, you're below that bar, you want to raise that bar in every area of your life. And if you felt like you were not a very good dad, you had to fix that.
Luckily, my wife is amazing, and she carried a lot of that load. So I was looking for something, and I was talking to people, and I the one thing that I hated was my success or failure was tied to somebody. He goes out and does something stupid, it affects me.
Yeah.
And... I knew that there was something better, so I went to work for a startup that dealt with international basketball players.
Okay, so you're still in the sports world, but you decided, hey, it is time for me. I got to make a move.
And I'm not proud to say this. I was almost like a crackhead to recruiting.
Yeah.
I couldn't control it. If my phone rang at 11 o'clock at night, I was answering it.
Right.
No question.
Yeah.
I'd be walking up and down the street with snow. Tired as all get out, and in the office the next morning. That's just what I was. Couldn't help it. So competitive. So I went to this. I was like the VP. I was basically running a sales team. Had to hire and run a sales team. And I had to travel internationally at this point.
Oh,
so now I'm going 30, 40 days overseas. This is worse than Division I college basketball.
Yeah.
So... I'll never forget this. I called one of my buddies that I grew up with, who was my roommate at Enterprise.
Okay.
Won the state championship together. Best friend in high school. The guy that I walked into the gym with when I saw Courtney.
When you met Courtney, okay.
Same guy.
Yeah.
I called him and I said, hey, bro, I'm not going to Australia the next trip, whenever it was, 2 weeks from now. He goes, what's that mean? I said, I have no idea, but I'm not going. At this time, my wife was managing an Enterprise rent-a-car.
Okay.
She's working 70 hours a week.
For sure. Those guys keep working.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So... he goes, what's that mean? I said, I don't know what it means. He goes, why don't you come work at Yellowhammer? I said, I have no idea what I would do at Yellowhammer. And he goes, just come build relationships.
Where are you living?
I'm in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, 2 hours from Moorhead.
Okay, so 2 hours from Moorhead, working for this company that you're traveling a bunch.
6 months in.
6 months in. And who's your buddy that, who calls you?
Cliff Sims.
Cliff Sims. Okay, so Cliff calls and says something about Yellowhammer.
Yeah. Which I had kept track of because he was my best friend.
Because of Cliff, okay.
But I had no idea what I would do there. I can't write.
Okay.
Lord knows.
Right. Me and you both.
I was a JUCO guy.
Yeah, exactly. They're in JUCO for a reason.
No question.
Yeah.
And I don't keep up with politics.
Right.
Probably vote a certain way because of
the way you're raised.
Right.
There, not many of us in the sports world keep up with politics simply because it's too much. I mean, it's hard to watch ESPN and watch CNN.
No
Fox
question.
Sports or whatever, Fox or whatever.
No question.
Okay.
So I said, why don't you send me something over? He sends it over, and it was almost identical to what I was making, but with a much higher upside.
Okay.
I talked to my wife. I didn't even get the sentence out. I said, do you want to move to Burton? And she said, yes.
Absolutely.
We were not dialed in spiritually at that point in our lives.
Okay.
Tough deal. She was busy. I was busy. We were at each other's necks, two competitive people.
Right.
Some tough times in Elizabethtown. And so I said, you want to move to, and she, I don't even think she heard where I said, yeah. So we moved to Birmingham. I'm doing business development, which is basically sales.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know anybody.
For Yellowhammer?
For Yellowhammer. Come down here. 4 months in, my buddy calls me and he goes, hey, I'm going to work for Trump's campaign. You think you can hold it down for 2 months?
Hold it down means?
Take care of things while I'm gone.
Okay, so Cliff kind of borderline hires you as his right-hand man, but also to do some development stuff. So as he hires you as his right-hand man, you're kind of seeing the inner workings of the business. So
sure.
Only after 4 months. So 12 months ago, you're recruiting and coaching college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And then so now you're building relationships and quasi-sales guy for Yellowhammer.
Yeah.
And give me the 15-second version of what Yellowhammer is.
It's news media outlet.
Okay.
We have a website that did 28 million clicks last year.
Okay.
We have a radio news network that's on 35 different stations in the state of Alabama. Does top and bottom hour news. We do events. We have a TV show. We do podcasts.
Gotcha.
Just everything Alabama under one roof.
Okay, perfect. Yep. So Cliff says, I'm going to work for Donald Trump.
On the campaign.
On the campaign.
It's only 2 months left in the campaign.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he goes down.
So he goes and says, hey, take over.
I said, you know what? I can hold it down if you'll answer the phone.
Absolutely.
So he answered the phone and I held it down.
Okay.
Trump gets elected.
Okay.
Hey, bud, I'm going to go work on this transition team. Can you hold it down for 2 months?
Absolutely.
Worked well last time. We'll figure it out.
4 months in.
Inauguration day, he sells the company.
Wow.
Got a new owner. That's January of 17.
Okay.
And God was faithful. At this point, we're dialed in. Relationship's better than it's ever been. And certainly not perfect, but way better than it had ever been before. And the new owner kept me,
wow.
Which is rare. I thought he was going to bring
so.
One of his guys in.
Yeah, for sure.
And we had a great year. But in September of that year, he sold the company. So now I'm on the third owner.
Wow.
And they were gracious enough and had seen enough that they kept me around, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. And we've been rocking and rolling ever since. We had the best year we had in 17, and we've had a better year in 18.
Which is, here's the thing, that in business, because I had a buddy, one of my best friends in the world, who was a farmer rep or a sales guy. And he was with four different companies in the span of like 19 months
mm-hmm.
because the company sold, they got rid of people and all that stuff. So it's really, really kind of crazy that you stayed in. You've got to stay in. I think that's a testament to who you are.
Testament to grace.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. So I know the world you came from. A lot of people don't know the world you came from. How did coaching college basketball prepare you for business? Because you are in the throes of business, because as the CEO of Yellowhammer, you're borderline a business owner, even though you don't own the company, you're running the thing, and your income is based off of production and all the things that come with the business. How did college basketball, coaching college sports, prepare you to do that? Because you're on paper, bro, you are as unprepared as anybody to run a multi-million-dollar
company.
I
was so unprepared.
Right.
I'll tell you how unprepared I was. When Cliff was working for Trump's campaign, I texted him,
uh-huh.
and I said, hey, man, just got a deal done for us. Really excited about it. He goes, cool, who's it with? I said, with some PACT.
Yeah.
PACT. I didn't know that a PAC, PAC, Political Action Committee, was not called a PACT. I thought they were making a PACT to elect somebody. And he goes, one, that's great. Yeah. Congratulations on the deal. That's going to be good for us.
Yeah.
But two, it's a pack, not a pack.
Nice. Added a T on there.
Three, who did I leave to run my company while I was gone?
That's on the message.
So don't worry, we got the deal
done. That's on the message. That needs to be screenshotted and put in your house somewhere.
So so unprepared, but in college athletics, which college taught me, you just have to figure things out. If there's a problem, here's how we're going to address it.
Right.
Here's how we're going to fix it. If that doesn't work, then we're going to do this. And it's about figuring out problems. And it's very eerily similar from what I was doing to what I'm doing now. And I don't know how your journey has been.
Yeah.
But it's I'm not recruiting kids from the toughest neighborhoods in the country anymore.
Right.
I'm dealing with, you know, people that are very well off and are doing good
right,
for themselves.
For sure.
But at the same time, I'm trying to help other people.
Okay.
So when I was recruiting, I was trying to provide an opportunity for a kid to change his life.
Right.
Now I'm trying to provide an opportunity for a business owner to change their life, for one of my employees to change his life.
Right.
So I think it all goes back to just serving people and figuring out problems.
Absolutely. So I think serving people is the biggest thing is because you know, the old saying, if you help enough people get what they want, you have as much as you want. And I think the fact that you could transition from recruiting a kid out of the, you know, the inner city of Houston
sure.
to come to the Delta of Mississippi, then now you're recruiting people that have multiple million-dollar bank accounts
sure.
to do business with you guys. I think that's amazing. So transition out of college. I think that one thing that you pointed out that I think is huge is what we try to teach our kids, and my wife and I try to stress, is problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie got on me the other day. She said, I said, we got something going on. How can I figure this out? She said, don't become the problems unless you got a solution. Solving, yeah, exactly. Solving problems is not unique. It is something in every business or every entity in the world, whether it be coaching college sports, in a church,
sure.
Own your own business, running your own business.
In a marriage.
Very good, yeah.
Parenting.
Absolutely.
Any kind of relationship. I mean, so I think, and I'm going down a rabbit hole right now, but what you said to me, we were at dinner the other night at a very nice mm-hmm. restaurant.
Yeah.
Appreciate you,
yeah.
the time there. You were talking to somebody and you said, all diets work.
For sure.
Yeah. They and do. I'm like, well, some have to work better than others. Like one is probably 10% or 8% or 7%
yeah.
better. But you made the point, and I will never forget this for the rest of my life. It's because people are moving and dialed in and actively trying to work to get to something. So if
right.
it's drink more water for the keto diet just because you're drinking more water. So I think problem solving is not sitting around talking forever.
No.
About what we're going to do or how we're going to fix this. We figure something out pretty quick.
Right.
And we move.
Yes.
We go.
Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect, but we're going to go. And when you get down a road, you might say, this ain't the right road.
Right.
So either you make a U-turn and you go the other way, or you take a right or a left. And that's what I think people don't understand about problem solving. You know, a lot of people just want to have meetings all day.
For sure.
To solve the problems.
Yeah.
That ain't going to solve problems.
You got to take action.
You got to take action.
Someone used to work for me, and then like the stars had to be aligned, the pencils had to be sharpened, the notebook had to be right, the
temperature,
paper, all these different things for them to take action. I was just like, you know, you just got to go. And here's the thing, as long as you're on the front end, you're going to screw it up in some way.
No question.
It's totally fine, but what you figured out is that's not the proper way to do whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
So you got to take action. So all right, I've got five questions for you. Now, these five questions, the super fast five questions that I just want you to answer. Some of them may be a little longer, but I don't want to give me the answers.
Okay.
Question number one, what does your morning routine look like?
I wake up about the same time every day.
And that is?
Around 6:30.
Okay.
And I go get a gel packet of protein
okay.
instantly, right out the gate.
Wake up.
Before I go
gel protein.
Gel protein.
We'll talk about that. Later. Okay.
Is that not good?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I take that. Go to the restroom, brush my teeth. Then I try to get into the Word first.
Okay.
Sometimes I get distracted by Instagram, email, text.
Okay.
I try to get in the Word.
Yeah, for sure.
I do have a little streak going in
there
my Bible app, so
there
I'm happy about that. And then I will get into my morning. I normally read or do something to make myself better before I start work every morning.
Okay. What does a day of eating look like?
So unless I have a breakfast meeting, which I try to not have breakfast meetings as much as possible, I eat breakfast super clean.
Okay.
So right out the gate, I'm 33% of my meals are clean.
So I
take the protein in the morning. Then there's something called Huel. They're not a sponsor of this podcast.
Nice.
They probably should pay us. But it's like grains and legumes. It's powder.
Okay.
I mix that into a smoothie.
Perfect.
So that's what I have for breakfast every morning. So super clean.
All right.
Lunch, I always have lunch meetings every day, so it depends on where I go. I try and
doing business with somebody.
No question.
Okay.
I don't eat by myself.
Never.
Except for breakfast.
Right.
Which is a smoothie.
Right.
And then a lot of the times I do meal fit.
Yeah.
Dinner, about probably half the times I have dinner meetings at night.
For sure.
So most of the time lunch and dinner out just because of
It's business.
Yeah.
All right, what's
breakfast super clean.
What's your favorite book of all time? Don't say the Bible.
I mean, you have to kind of say the Bible.
Yep.
I think Andy Andrews is a very good friend, and he wrote something. Let me think about that before I put Andy on it. Oh, there's so many. I'm going to say The Little Things, Andy Andrews.
Here's what's great.
The Noticer's great. The Traveler's great. This guy's a stud. So anything that he writes, I love. But I think it's the Traveler's Gift is a good one. I'm going to have to go with the Traveler's Gift.
So everybody needs to know this was totally unprompted. You had no idea this question was being asked. And I doubt that you've seen the video that I did however long ago about my number one favorite book for me is Traveler's Gift. Hands down. Yeah. Documented. Look it up. Traveler's Gift. Andy Andrews is a stud. He's wonderful. What are you reading right now?
I'm rereading the 48 Laws of Power.
Okay.
I'm listening to David Goggins' audiobook.
Nice.
Can't Hurt Me.
A lot of language in that book?
A
lot of language, gotcha.
But he's a warrior.
He's good.
When guys are trained to be warriors, I'm sure it's hard to untrain them.
Absolutely.
But that's so I'm physically reading 48 Laws of Power and I'm listening to Goggins' audiobook.
How old are you right now?
37.
37. If you could go back and tell your 20-year-old self something, what would you tell him?
I would tell him to enjoy the journey more. And I think I've done a good job of that the past couple of years. Certainly not perfect. But when I was at Pensacola Junior College not getting paid, I was so excited to get to the next chapter that I didn't enjoy what happened at Pensacola. When I was at Delta State, my AD is now the AD at Troy, and we were talking the other day, and we were like, you remember the days at Delta State when we thought we were busy?
Yeah.
But we could sit there and hang out every night.
Okay.
But I was so ready to get to the next thing that I didn't enjoy where I was at. And I think that you always try and get to the next level because we're competitive and we're trying to level up and we're trying to create opportunities for our family. But if you don't enjoy where you're at, at some point in life you're going to look back and say, what is all this worth? Because I was just trying to get to the next chapter. It would be like reading a book and just skimming because you want to get to the next chapter so bad instead of soaking up where you're at and what's going on.
Perfect. Awesome. Hey, appreciate you so much, my man.
Thank you for having me.
BJ is an amazing man of God, wonderful family man, and also a really, really good businessman that transitioned from the college basketball lifestyle. So, hey, thank you so much for watching with us and listening to us. We've had a wonderful time, wonderful conversation here today. Any questions at all, please email us info@mealfit.co. If you have a guest that you'd like for us to see and talk to and you'd like to know more about, please let us know info@mealfit.co. Thank you so much, guys.